You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC, located on the unceded traditional Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam people. Hello, and welcome to Intersections, presented by the Gender Empowerment Collective. This radio show is presented every 4 weeks, where we dig into topics about gender, race, and social justice. We open our show with a conversation between your hosts, followed by an interview with an expert on the topic that we will be discussing.
Hi, welcome to or welcome back to our show, Intersections by the Gender Empowerment Collective. This week is a Fun Drive episode. And we're going to ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on air. So for today, we're going to share our dating stories or our advice or just our opinions on dating in general, because it is February, the month of love, or I guess like one day dedicated to love. And then it's going to be cut with you asking for your donation, because that would be amazing. Because for me, our radio show has really helped me. It's been very therapeutic, honestly, and has made me value therapy in general. Not that that's our goal, but I think through talking about complex situations every like week, I found that I like feel a lot better. Like when we interviewed Luna Matadas, who is a wonderful sex and pleasure educator, I felt amazing after our interview because I was truly moved when she talked about forgiving ourselves for the sexual mistakes we've made in the past and a lot of other stuff she said. And it just made me realize how freeing it is to talk about taboo and complex topics, especially when they're affected by gender and race and class. And that's the main focus of our show. So if you can donate whatever you have, that would help, you know, it would not just help us, obviously, because we're on air, it'll help everyone listening and help you. So if you are in the position to contribute, please visit CITR/donate to donate. And thanks so much.
This is Randy. I will preface my segment by saying I am gay. And with that, I present you with a list of things that I do not understand about straight relationships. You may consider this a roast. Number one, why do women date men? That's it. No, I'm just kidding. I have more. So the first one is, why is cooking and cleaning considered a woman's job and not a life skill? And with that, I say, why should men be fathering children when they can't cook an egg? Number two, dating shows. You can't see me, but I'm shrugging. I'm shrugging very hard because I don't know. Number three, pregnancy announcements. When you announce to me that you're pregnant, my thought is, congratulations, you had sex and successfully fertilized your wife. I know that that's maybe not what you mean, but that's what my brain thinks. Also, why do you make t-shirts about it? Congratulations. Wow, we never saw this coming. Number four, why are you married? No, really, why? Like, I want an answer. Give me three reasons why you are married. On top of that, I have number five, wife jokes. AKA, gotta go home to the wife. The old ball and chain. I don't know. Explain it to me. Number six, why do you think God created lesbians for your threesomes? Number seven, dating apps. Now I have a couple that spring off of this because I do not understand them. So the first one is, why do men always find a way to make the conversation about their dong? And the next one that is under dating apps is, why are you on dating apps? You can literally walk out your door and hit a straight person. You know, think about it. Think about it. It's always just good to think about these things. Okay, so number eight, I have the drama. Just the drama. I don't get it. This isn't Glee Club. Your relationship is not 50 Shades of Grey. Calm down. Also, this isn't an enemies to lover romance novel. Okay? And then my last one, again, it kind of goes with the pregnancy announcements. It's in the same vibe. Gender reveal parties. Now, if you don't know what this is, I congratulate you. I'm not roasting you. But this is when you announce the genitalia of your soon-to-be-born child. For some people, this could be a cake. But for some, it's a cannon filled with colored confetti that blows something up. Now, I'm sure you've all heard about the forest fires that have been caused, the people that have been injured. So my question is, why do you all be burning down forests in order to know the genitals of your child? That's all I'm saying. Also, question, which one of you is the man and which one of you is the woman? If you didn't get that, that's a reverse gay joke. And my last one is men. With that, I conclude the list of things that I, as a gay person, do not understand about straight relationships, and I invite my colleagues to comment.
Yeah, you're speaking nothing but facts, honestly. I fully believe, and I've told Anastasia about this, that everyone should be able to cook one meal, okay? I think it makes you a sufficient adult in my eyes, male or female, or non-binary, everybody, okay? It just, I won't stand for it. If you have to order in every single meal, I can't take it.
Yeah, honestly, I had a blast making this list. My roommate helped me. And we were watching, we found YouTube videos that like, were like, are straight people okay? And they provided a lot of good entertainment and a lot of good suggestions.
There's like the living, being in a romantic relationship with a straight man. Like we talked about it. We're like, why do you have one damp towel? Why does every straight man have only one? Like literally I leave the shower and I have to dry myself off with a damp towel. And then it's like, and it's so, and I mean, yeah, but the thing is, not all straight men, but a lot of them, they just don't care too. Like, I don't know. They're like, not my problem. Cause maybe they think a woman will come along. And then I hate that when I do clean my boyfriend's dishes, I do feel like, oh, wifey, like I feel good. I hate that. My boyfriend then is like, oh, gender rules. And I'm like, no. I'm like, well, you brought us hot pots, so I'll clean these bowls, but no.
Like, yeah, honestly, I don't get the lack of life skills. I don't know, even like growing up, my mom was like, you need to learn to cook. And I turned to my brother and I was like, does he need to learn to cook? And then she didn't say anything. And I was like, this doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. She's like, some woman will come along and just wander into his kitchen and cook for him.
Also, in the age of the internet, can we just all agree that, like, access to cooking, like, learning to cook, there's so many. You can do podcasts to teach you. You could do YouTube videos. Like, there's literally so many different things that you could do to teach you how to cook.
There's no excuse for men.
It was hard. Yeah. See, that's the thing. It didn't even turn in the whole time I was making this list. I was like, I'm just roasting straight men at this point because like straight women, I like, okay, you're dating them, but like, I'm not going to hold it against you. But thank you for listening to my roast. Also, it's all good fun. It's all good fun. It's all for a laugh.
Hey guys, this is Chimgi again. So as you very well may know or not know, this week is Fun Drive here at CITR, and this is the one time each year that we ask for your support to help keep local, independent, alternative creatives and voices on the air. So I joined CITR in my third year of university, and I was able to get free training on the equipment in the studio and just like book time with my friends and just have a good time expressing ourselves in the booth. And through the Gender Empowerment Collective, the collective that is producing this very show right now, I've had the opportunity to meet super friendly and creative people. And we've had the space to have casual and open conversations about some serious like intersectional issues. And with this platform, we've also been able to engage experts and local leaders and to listen to their opinions and experiences. And so if you are in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca to donate, citr.ca/donate to donate. And depending on how much you donate, depending on your pledge level per month or your one-time payment, you could get so much swag. Okay, you could get some customized candy hearts, some cozy socks, a tea towel. You could get an on-air song dedication on Valentine's Day for your loved ones. And if you do $1,000, you could be on our donor wall. That means every student ever to enter into the CITR radio station will look at your face and thank you for keeping this platform going. Because CITR really is just such a great space for us to be able to express ourselves and really just grow as individuals. And so I really hope you consider donating. Thank you.
Hi, it's Anastasia, and I'm back to talking about love. And on the subject of love, I want to talk about couples. And when I was thinking about couples and what I wanted to talk about, I thought about what annoys me about couples. But then as I was thinking of the list in my head, a lot of it boiled down to when your friends don't value you as much as they do their partner. And how this doesn't just annoy me, but it really worries me. And I really want everybody to know, but especially I'll be talking to young girls. I want young girls to know that they should value their friends, I would say, more than their boyfriend. And for the reasons that your friends can be there for you for a long time, but your boyfriends, it'll probably end. But it's a lot darker than that. It's that at a young age, we all know from either personal experience or, you know, a secondhand or something, or you just heard of a story, but you know that young girls can be preyed on. And of course, there's the sick older men that prey on the fact that they just desperately want a relationship or they want to find love and they have this dream idea of it. And so they'll accept you. They won't see you for your flaws until they're that age. They won't truly see the flaws of someone older until they are that age. But there's also the boys hurt their age because anybody can be toxic at any age. And I mean, young boys with toxic masculinity, they'll be told that they should be having sex and young boys aren't really taught to communicate their emotions. And that's something, it takes a long time to learn how to communicate and not something that really happens in high school. So when you're spending all your time with a boy your age, but you're spending all of their time, and if they're not treating you right and you don't know it, you can be stuck. Someone can be stuck in a toxic relationship, have their friends be pushed away, and not have anyone to be supported by. And then that toxic relationship will be a template for all the relationships in your future, because that's what you will have expected. If that's your first relationship, that is what you expect and is sometimes what you look for. When you start with a certain type of person, you're like, oh, well, it'll be that, I guess. And that's what you subconsciously look for. And that's obviously incredibly harmful. And, you know, it can't be helped. I'm definitely not blaming the young girls that get into relationships with toxic people. It's not on the victim. But I do want them to, I do wish that they had the support of their friends and that they weren't pushing them away because they're spending all their time with their boyfriend and that they were hanging out with them all the time. And they're also taking more interest in them. They were making sure to enjoy their boyfriend more than they would make sure to enjoy their friends or take their words as seriously as they do their boyfriends. And I do completely understand why girls do this. I think it's partly the media, like all the movies growing up, all the Disney movies, they were really young. Ariel was 16 and she was like, I don't have a boyfriend yet. And she dragged her little fish friend by the fins to go see this boy. The whole movie was about getting the boy and then the marriage. I mean, that was repeated in almost every Disney movie that I watched growing up. And in the films, it was all around the boy. It was all around a boy. And there's also just gendered norms that a girl should look for marriage. Like, it might sound old school, but those gendered stereotypes, they don't go away that easy. And so I definitely think media has a role. And then, of course, when you're young, you do really want a relationship. So I also don't blame them for getting into a relationship and being incredibly infatuated. But I still don't, I never really got, because I was never in a relationship in high school, from seeing it from an outside perspective, I didn't get it. And I'm really glad I didn't get it. Because I definitely think it could have happened to me. I think I still would have valued my friends because of this reason, because I found a best friend. And I invested my time in this best friend. And when I did that, I didn't feel like I needed to find support from other people. I didn't feel like I would be, I didn't feel that desperation that I'm alone and that I needed to stick with maybe a boy that would like, that liked me, because I always had my best friend. I had my best friend to talk to, and I really want that for every girl. And I know that I think I'm lucky to find my best friend, because it's not always that easy to find someone who's like you and that who that supports you in the way that you want, even when you don't know what you want, because you don't really know at that age. And so I know that you can't always find a best friend, but I do want girls to invest more time in, you know, giving other people, other friends, the time that they're worth, to at least find out how close they are, and to have them and build a community and not be reliant on a partner. Because your friends won't ask what a partner is asking for. And I don't think at a young age, what a partner is asking for is, you know, your mind, body, and soul. Like, maybe not your body, but, you know, often your body, you know? And, I mean, for the reasons I've stated before, it's just incredibly harmful to have that happen when you get stuck in a relationship and you push your friends away, or you didn't build enough of a relationship with other people, and it becomes all about boys. And so I want to give the advice to, when you meet someone, to just, you know, treat them more like a boyfriend, you know? I feel like I've done that. Like, I like walking my friends home at night, even though my friend has said, like, why do you do that? You're a girl too. Like, you are just as in danger of, you know, something happening than your friend is. Why do you walk them home? And it's because I want them to be treated as well as they would by a boy, because I don't know, that always felt like that made the most sense to me, that I would treat them, because I do deeply love my friends. And I think love is love. I think you should treat people that you love the same across the board. Like, taking out the sexual stuff, obviously, you just treat them with the same interest, you know? I've had it where my friends are very interested in what their boyfriend's saying, but then they don't give me the same time of day. And then they don't get to really know me. They don't get to find out if I could be a closer friend. And your friends can last forever. It's definitely worth investing in finding a close friend, because it is so amazing to see a beautiful friendship blossom and to fall more in love with this person. And for this person to just be, I mean, I feel like friends can be the true partner, because they are there even if you're far away and even if you're close by. So I hope you all can take that with you. Or if you've done it already, that's amazing. Thank you.
Hey there, this is Randy from Intersections. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year that we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is a place where I have found a welcoming community full of cool people. When I first came to UBC, I struggled to find a community outside of my classes and meet people with similar interests to me, and then I joined CITR. Now I feel at home. At CITR, I have the opportunity to learn about radio programming, leadership through my role as a collective coordinator, and finally, I have the opportunity to express my passion for social justice.
If you are in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate to donate to the amazing CITR community. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. This is Chimgi. And today I'm going to share, for this very special Fun Drive episode, I'm going to share my experience with closure talks, closure conversations, specifically in a romantic relationship context, and how my feelings towards them have changed over time. So I'm going to illustrate this with two moments in my life. And let's start. Let's get into it. The first one, I was a second year. I had gone out on 3 dates with this person. And at this point, I realized that we were not compatible. No shared interests, no common activities. All we really had in common were that we were generally pleasant people. And that was really it. So on our fourth date, I had decided to just go ahead and say, hey, I don't think that we're compatible. And I don't think we should continue this. Like, it's the end of the road for me. And I honestly, in like most of the scenarios that I thought about, just expected him to say like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, maybe call me a B word or whatever. But he didn't do any of that. He just said, okay, like, can we talk about this further? And every part of my body was like, every cell was like, please no. Like, I'm here and I told you in person and I don't want to talk about it further. Like, that's how I felt. I was also at this stage in my life, at this point in my life, I was very opposed to being vulnerable and like emotionally expressive in a romantic context. So yeah, I was very much internally opposed to this idea of talking about not wanting to be together further. But as I was the one who called it quits, I thought, okay, fine. I feel slightly obligated because I decided to end it. And I know you're not really obligated to do anything, but in this moment, I felt it. And so we went and we sat down, we got bubble tea, and we talked about it. And he asked me questions like, why don't you think that we're compatible? Like, what's not compatible? And like, when did you start thinking this? And if he did anything wrong, if he could have done something differently. He also expressed that he could engage in some of the activities that I engage in too. Like, that option was there. And just other questions similar to that. And I answered them. Even though I was so opposed to the situation, at that point I had accepted it. And I thought like, hey, I'm just going to try to answer this as honestly, but like in the most honest, but least offensive way you can, answers you can give as to not, as to why you don't want to be with someone. And so I did that. And even though during that situation, like when I was present in it, I wasn't about it. I thought, why are you doing this? Just take my abstract goodbye and run with it. You know, ask all these questions to yourself later. Don't ask me. Like, that's what I would have preferred in that moment. But looking back on it now, I have so much respect for him because what he basically did was he was like, I'm confused about this because this is something that was just said to me that just, you know, like he had all this confusion from my statement. And what he did was basically just get it sorted. So he didn't have to walk away with all that confusion and have the only person he could ask be himself because he wouldn't know my thoughts or feelings any deeper than that. I mean, of course you could reach out later over like text or social media or something, but the longer you wait, the more awkward it feels, right? At least for me. And so he, you know, in the moment he said, I'm going to get my questions answered. The confusion that I have, we're going to sort it out together. My emotional tangles, you and I are going to untangle my emotions together. And looking back on it now, I am so, so grateful to have had this conversation with this person that I personally didn't even think was necessary, but it was necessary for him. And he took the prerogative to make it happen. And so I'm grateful to have had this conversation because a couple of years down the line, someone ended a relationship with me. And yeah, it was disconcerting for sure. But having had that conversation as an example, I knew that the questions that I had, I could get answered. Like, I could take the initiative, set up a meeting, come prepared with questions, and ask them one by one. And that's exactly what I did.
Hey guys, this is Anas from Generation Strange. This week, it's Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support. This year's theme is Don't Let CITR Be the One That Got Away, and that's very true. Help us keep local, independent, and alternative music, art, and voices on the air. I've been volunteering at CITR since I was 18, and it's helped me in so many ways. CITR is made by and for our listeners. If you are in any position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate, or tell a friend who may be interested.
After I had like nearly a month to decompress, and having had seen him on campus, it's a small campus, I finally, having had a close encounter with him, I finally, you know, took the plunge, reached out for a meeting, and came with all my questions, okay? And I felt justified in doing this because he had kind of unloaded his feelings on me when he ran into me at one point, and so he kind of got the closure that he needed and that he wanted, but I wasn't prepared for it, so I didn't get it at all. And so anyway, I came to this meeting prepared, questions big, small, petty, all written down on my notes application, bam bam bam, ready to go. And that's exactly how I asked them, bam bam bam, one by one, some I omitted. And you know, the whole thing was gratifying, right? It's still a difficult process. A breakup is a difficult process, but having these questions answered for myself, no matter how, yeah, some of the answers weren't satisfying. Some of them felt less than honest, right? But I still got some of them answered and some of them were satisfying. And so it did make that process of post-breakup less difficult for myself. And yeah, like, if I'm a huge proponent of closure now, I'm definitely big fan of, if you need something, ask, you know, ask the questions, get your answers. And it's all thanks to that one guy who made me have the closure conversation with him. Not made me, but you know, shout out, big shout out. Something that really helped me in my mentality going into this closure meeting was thinking that this relationship with this person is over. There is no chance of reunification in my mind. So it doesn't matter if these questions make me come across as, like, I don't know, too vulnerable, too petty. Like, I care too much, right? Like, it was really like, it doesn't matter because this person's opinion of me didn't matter to me anymore. And that's like the kind of the mentality that I went into it with. And also with my prepared little questions, I would periodically like look, pretend like I was checking my notifications and look at the questions again, because I would forget sometimes what I wanted to ask. And so I was so, so glad I had that as a security blanket. Because, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to forget it because it would be hard to create a situation like this again. So anyway, in summary, if you need closure, try to go and get it, okay? If the situation is suitable for that, ask for what you need, you know? And if you got anything from my experience, my journey with these two stories, that's fantastic. If you didn't and you still think closure is nasty, that's totally cool too. But yeah, I just wanted to share this story with you guys. Thanks for listening. Happy Fun Drive.
This episode of Intersections is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.
Thank you for listening to Intersections, presented by the Gender Empowerment Collective. Tune in again in 4 weeks to catch our next episode. We can always be reached at our email, genderempowerment@citr.ca, for comments, feedback, and topic ideas. Music by Hero.